Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our question, why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
We just have a comment here from the YouTube stream, if you will. It says, I went camping, ate only jerky, drank no water. Got so constipated. Well, I squatted over an anthill at 3 a.m. Ants attacked. I fell pants down. Stood in poop. Then they had drink water. Yeah, that is a good call, man. That is a good call. Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
Hey, I just want to say thank you guys for Saturday.
Thank you, man.
I'm the guy that was in the neck collar.
Oh, right.
Saw you.
Only on Tylenol. I thought for sure they'd have you hopped
up. We had so many injured listeners yesterday. It's like a walking dead.
Oh, yeah. I ended up getting pictures with the Elk Plain Drifter, with the Ginger Midget, Mrs. Amy. So I got to meet a lot of people. It was really cool.
Nice.
I did appreciate the Ginger Midget rocking the eye patch with the word Reno written on it.
All right, yeah. She looked at me and goes, do you see the eye patch? Like, well, yeah, it's an eye patch.
Why are you wearing that? You're going to hurt your vision.
Wear it just for you, Viles.
That's right.
All right, so anyways, when I was growing up, we used to go cliff diving at the rock quarries.
How high are these cliffs?
You had like one that you could jump off that was like 20 foot, one that was about 35, and the highest one was about 45. And so we'd all go out there in the summertime and go jumping and have fun and all that stuff. And my brother's girlfriend would never do it. And finally, one day we talked her into it, and we got her up to the highest one, about 45 feet. And we made everybody lined up at the path that she had to run and got her all talked into it. She's psyched up and ready to go. And she takes off running, and at the very last minute, she grabs the very last guy at the edge of the cliff and decides she doesn't want to go. And instead of him getting dragged off with her, he just pushed her off.
All right.
And she landed in about 3 feet of water.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, it was all silty and muddy and everything else, so she hit and went up to her knees in mud. And basically landed on her butt. Didn't get hurt, not a scratch.
That's amazing. Really?
But, yeah, she would never do it again.
Damn. Well, at least she did it once. Mm-hmm. My son did this month and a half ago, toward the end of August, whatever. A buddy of his, a couple of them went down. And so I'm at work, and he says we're going swimming. That is what he sells me on this in the morning. Then I get a text that says we're cliff jumping. And I'm like, what the F is he talking about? So the mother that was there keeping an eye on him, she's sending me videos throughout the day of them jumping off this cliff, and every video is a little bit higher, just like this guy's saying. You know, you build your courage up. That's what I felt like a parent, right? So I'm texting my wife, like, are you seeing these effing videos? She's like, yeah, I've seen them. I'm like, I'm kind of freaking out because I'm aware, and I'm just watching his ass jump. And I mean, I just, the water did
deep. What body of water?
I'm not sure. Somewhere south of here. I cannot remember the name of it. I may remember this guy's talking because I guess it's a place that people go specifically to do it. And then so they get home, he was fine, you know, him, all of his buddies, but he said, yeah, at one point we're jumping and there's a slightly higher peak that they're debating jumping off of. And it's like this weird guy shows up, strips down to his underwear because he doesn't bother to bring trunks, looks at us and says, oh man, some people have died jumping off of this one, and then jumped the hell off.
Yeah.
So I was like, did you guys jump off of that one? He said, not after that.
Well,
we were
lakes,
going to.
Lakes usually pretty good. It helps that you need somebody that knows the area.
Yeah.
But like with rivers and stuff too, the rivers change. So sometimes the hole was deep enough that you could jump into them, and now it's not.
Yeah, this was a river. Yeah. Like I said, everything about it I didn't like. But dude, I didn't say anything. I saw all the videos. When I just saw him, I was just happy to see him in one piece. I'm like, all right, cool.
The best one is years ago, right? We're up at Summer Meltdown. It's Saturday. We're on the river, right?
All right.
So there's this bend, right, on the Stillaguamish River in Darrington. Everybody knows it. So everybody's from the festival, but there's also kind of like back ways you can just come into the river.
All right.
So people are on this rope swing, and there's a big hole in the middle. But as you get out, it gets shallow quicker. So me and my buddies are sitting on a log, right? This guy comes over, and he's got on, like, a hard hat, but, like, the round one. I guess it's for if you're a lumber.
Yeah.
So he looks at us and goes, think about jumping in. And I go, hey, dude, just so you know, I know it looks deep right here, but it's only, you know, it's pretty shallow.
Yeah.
And he just takes off his hat and goes, well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Tosses the hat. Miles does a belly flop at about like a foot of water.
Did he know that? So he was just...
I told him twice, and I wasn't sober, to say the least. And I went, hey, man. And he's like, you got to do what you got to do.
Was he okay?
He was fine. He was completely embarrassed because the whole beach went, ooh.
Yeah.
And then everybody started laughing at him. And can you imagine after being that cool and going, do what you got to do, and then you got to do a push-up and just stand up out of a foot of water?
Jesus.
I mean, he just walked off in shame.
Dude, I told that place, I'll show you pictures of Nick's in Negril, Jamaica. So they have a bar and they have a cliff. You can jump off of it.
Yeah.
So I jumped a couple times. You go and you get a beer. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go back and cool off. Just like you would at a pool.
Sure.
You know? So I'm probably two or three back in line. And the guy goes, hold up. Get out of the water. I think I've told you guys this. There was a shark that was swimming in the cove. And so we wait. I go back down to the table. Drink some more of my beer. I figure they're going to get the green light. I go, walk back up there. There's no one in line. Perfect. The guy goes, okay, I think we're okay. But I'm going to go check. So he dives in head first. First of all, it's too high to dive. He just, no problem, like Superman.
Yeah.
Flies through the air. He dives in, and he's swimming underwater, back and forth. He didn't come up for like 60 seconds. He swam all the way to the end of the cove and goes, yeah, man, he's way out there. And I'm like, he's like, I saw him. He's way out there. Don't worry about it. You go ahead and go. So I'm like, hell, I just ran, jumped real quick. I swam so fast to that ladder, man. I mean, I'm just booking it. I mean, the shark was like 200 yards out.
Doesn't matter.
But it was just amazing, like, how far he could swim and look and see and realize. And he was swimming toward where the shark was.
What's amazing, in spite of his ability to do that, is that he chooses that to see if he can go find a shark.
Correct.
Even if I could, like, I'm not doing that.
He looked like, I mean, underwater, man. He was flying. I was like, dude, look at this guy go. Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
How are you doing today?
Hola.
A short story.
All right.
I know how this is going to end.
Between 85 and 1990, I served in the Navy on the East Coast. We, about 86 or 87, we were doing patrols in the North Sea up by the Soviet Union and Scotland and all that above the Arctic Circle. There was an oil rig that had a fire and ended up blowing apart and killed 169 people in the North Sea.
Jesus.
We did rescue missions on that oil rig to help the people out of the water that was like 35 degrees.
How many people work on those things?
I would guess that there's probably 200, but like I said, it just killed 169 people.
Jesus.
Did they have life rafts or anything? Were they prepared for that?
They've got the little tugs and everything else, and we picked up one. And they're supposed to be bright orange so that you can see them and all that. But the one that we picked up pulled alongside the ship, the people were dead, and the whole thing was charred black.
Damn, man.
But and they're big. I mean, they're like monster things. They're 300 feet off of the water. They're probably 2 football fields by 2 football fields. Just junk. I'm sorry?
So they must have had a big explosion.
Yeah, it was some kind of a fire, some kind of explosion. It was unreal. I mean, I have never seen anything like it. And there was numerous platforms around it, but this one was just, it was big. It was yellow and black because it was obviously burnt. And 3/4 of it was gone. It was in the ocean, in the water, and everything.
Did you actually see the explosion, or you guys got the call that it happened?
We got the call. We got the SOS from the platform itself. It took us about 7 or 8 hours to get there at as fast as the ship would go that I was on. And so it just, I mean, we were hauling butt all the way there, and just devastation, complete chaos, just all kinds of things. And there was posts everywhere around us.
What were the people, what were the survivors saying as far as the ones you were able to pick out of the water?
Holy crap.
Well, it's amazing 7-8 hours if they were in the water at 35 degrees that they even, made it more than a half an hour.
That's the thing. I mean, if you hit the water in 35 degrees, you're dead in 2 minutes.
You may or may not know the answer to this, but if you get a gig working on an oil rig, like, what is the shift? Are you there for 3 weeks? Are you there for 6 months? You have any idea?
I have no idea. I can imagine it's probably a month on and then like 2 weeks off. Those guys are making bucks. They got to be making bucks.
But isn't it also, too, a penal colony, essentially, from what everything that I've heard?
Yeah, the guy's willing to work out there.
Yeah. So, I would assume that it's something like that. You guys know nothing. So, anyway, thanks for all the communication. Have a great day. Love you guys. Love the show.
Thank you, man. Yeah. We appreciate it.
All right, quick question. You get your choice. You can work on an oil rig, you can work in Antarctica, or you can work on an Alaskan fishing boat.
Antarctic.
I'm taking Antarctic.
You can be inside. Whatever you got to do, I'll do it.
And I hear nightmares about that, too, because they have to do all this kind of, like, training for emergency preparedness outside. Obviously, you want to avoid that, but I'm just like, man, of those three things, I'm taking Antarctica.
I think just, and I know how hard it is, but just because it's a shorter amount of time, I'll go crabbing.
You're going crabbing? Man.
I don't want to be out on that rig forever for a long time. And then I think those Antarctica jobs, like, you got to be there for months on end.
You got to be there for months.
You can't land.
That's what makes the crabbing or fishing so tough, is that you got to get it all done in like 3 weeks, so you're basically not sleeping or four, however long the season is. And I'm obsessed. I watch that show.
I know you do.
So I'm like, I don't know that at 44 I could still do it, but I'm like, if I had to pick one, I would take that one.
Really? Nah, I'm taking Antarctic. Although, was it earlier this year, I think, no one's been really clear about what went down in Antarctica, but one of the people there, keep in mind,
lost his mind.
It's a limited number of people, but one of them, something was going wrong is kind of all they would really say. And you would get little trickles out like, well, I believe like he armed himself with a knife and like hold away in this one room, then he's threatening other people, but they keep radioing like, yeah, we know you're not scheduled to show up, but like, seriously, man, you got to come get,
we gotta get this guy off here.
But this went on for weeks, and I'm like, that's bad, man.
Oh, yeah.
That is bad, bad.
Yeah.
But I'm still taking that over the crabbing boat or the oil rig.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess there's no bears or nothing, but like,
there's just the brutal freaking cold.
I'm just imagining there's just a knock at that door, and like, do we answer?
You can, because it's covered in snow.
I'm not answering.
Most of the time they're down there. You can't even walk outside.
No.
And when you can, that's why it's so hard to get supplies in. They had a plane 2 weeks ago that had to do like some crazy-ass landing in the dark when the wind wasn't blowing.
Right.
So they landed at night to get somebody out of there who needed medical attention.
Probably that guy.
And, I mean, this guy, you know, like, this would be something you would base a movie on. As far as just how crazy, heroic, there's no lights on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
You need to land this. So you had people out there with, like, flashlights and stuff.
Great.
Like, here we are. Like, can you see us? Land it this way.
Right.
And he did. And he took off. And he got the guy out of there. Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
That's why we do radio. Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, my goodness. Am I on the men's room?
You are.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Hola.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. Hey, hola, bicholas, and thank you very much for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so my story is I live up in the north end of things, very close to Taryn's home.
Okay.
And there is a local bridge, train bridge, that people like to jump off on the river. This was 2 weekends ago. My honey and I are sitting just in our lawn chairs, got our beers, hanging out. And there's a lot of younger kids that get up and they'll go up and jump off the bridge, do their flips and everything like that. I used to when I was younger, not anymore. I'm getting old. So a gentleman that we met is coming in. He claimed he'd been there since 10 in the morning. This is like 4 in the afternoon. Okay, he's had his day. He's you know, three sheets to the wind. All of a sudden, there's someone up on the bridge that has what would be, I don't know if you guys know, BoJack Horseman? Would be like a BoJack Horseman hat or mask on with an alto saxophone. And he pipes out. He clearly does not really know how to use the sax, but he gets actually a belt out of probably four or five notes and then jumps off the bridge with the mask still on, horse mask. Not your best bet. Now, mind you, I grew up in San Diego, a surfer, a water polo player, a lifeguard. I'm very
You never wore a horse mask while surfing or lifeguarding.
That'd be weird to be saved by him.
Exactly. I've worn a elephant man thong, but not a horse mask.
Okay.
So this gentleman, he jumps off. He does his little pipe off, jumps off, and then disappears into the water. And I'm, like I said, I'm sitting there with my other half, my honey, and she's looking. We're starting to see him pop up. He's doing his backwards choke, choking water backwards. And there's at least 100 people on there. Most of them are probably kids. So we're talking maybe 40% are adults. No one's doing anything after about 30 seconds. So my honey just starts kind of smacking me in the arm. She's like, Zach, you know how to swim. You can go help him. It doesn't look good. So at this time, I have a joint in my hand. I'm about to take a shot. I've got a beer in my hand. I've got my cell phone, all my stuff. We were planning on swimming. We were just hanging out. Dump all my stuff. Jump in. Go grab the guy. Advise him of how I'm going to pull him out. I'm going to go under your left arm. I'm going to go to your right shoulder so I don't choke you out. We're going to go this way, back, you know, towards shore, obviously. At the same time, or say shortly thereafter, I ask him, are you still holding the saxophone and the mask? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, bro, give me the mask and the saxophone. I'll get you out. I've been water polo. I know the egg beater. I can use just my legs to get us out of there. It's good. And he pulls them out of the water. They're full of water. He's got snot running down his face. It was not a pretty situation. So we get over to the 15, probably not even 20 feet. You know, it's not very far, but he's in the river getting pulled down. So get him over to that space. All good. I stand up. And he's sitting there asking me, can I stand up? Are we on safe ground? I'm like, dude, there's a rock like right under your knees. Have you not hit it yet? Gets on the rock, calls it good. Proceeds to come back up and tell me that at least four people got that on video. So this is going to go viral.
Was that his whole point?
That was his whole point, gentlemen. His whole point of this. He advised no one. There's plenty of people I'm sure would have. I'm not a big social media guy. It's not my jam. But I'm sure that was his whole point. Well, that was his whole point. I'm sure that the people that would have participated in the situation, nobody got on video. Nobody cared. Nobody even noticed. Nobody paid attention that he was actually drowning afterwards, essentially. He was just the guy that set the saxophone off on the bridge right before the train came. So that would be my water story for today.
Jesus.
It's amazing. You know, the geniuses out there that we want to be social media side, but enjoy your time. And I don't mind going and helping somebody out by any means. I love doing that in life. That's what we should do for each other.
But
there is a site for that. F around and find out.
Yeah, that's exactly. Thank you very much. FAFO. Yeah. That's what happened. While you're about to drown, the guy spent 30 minutes on the side choking water out. And I went and talked to him. And I'm like, do you need actual water? He's like, yeah, that'd be great. I've been choking on water. He did not look good. Let's put it that way. So it was a good day to help another individual, but also one of those reminders of, I'm sorry, but the idiocy of our world and what, you know.
Well, that is staggering.
Because you don't mind helping people out, but it's annoying to help somebody out who's choosing to put themselves in danger.
Correct. And the worst part to me is, I understand that people want to be viral on social media and all that kind of thing, but it seemed to me, if that were important to me, I'd want them to see my face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the point of wearing a mask to do this if in the end nobody knows it's you if your whole goal is to go viral on social media?
Because he wants to be saxophone horse guy.
It's been happening on the Italian Alps.
What do you mean?
Well, just this has been one of the most brutal years as far as the trail system, the rocks that are coming down, people slipping, the ability to slip and then go over a 200 or a 100-foot cliff. You know, like, you're on a trail, but the trail's loose. And if you're to just go down 10 feet, then you're going to go over this thing.
Sure.
And so people are just, you know, having to get helicoptered off, people are breaking their legs. It's like the Italians are saying, like, do not go up into the mountains because you don't know what you're doing. People are taking pictures.
They're not wearing masks. I mean, you're right. And I hear you, but you go like, all right, well, at least it's you, okay?
Like, they're saying, trail's closed, don't go. And they're just going, we can make it.
Good God, man.
Yeah.
And also, if you can't swim, that's a really bad idea. That's all. I mean, so, like, if you're going to go viral for jumping into the water, hopefully you know how to swim as well. Because you will go viral if you drown. And, you know, just don't get to appreciate it.
The water's shockingly cold here.
Yeah,
it's one thing to be able to swim, but it's another thing for your body to take that initial shock of just the temperature of the water.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that stuns you for, you know, at least 30 seconds. You start hyperventilating. You have trouble breathing. You have trouble getting a breath, even if you don't have any water in your mouth.
Yeah.
Because your body is just shocked.
Yeah. And also, it's a nice afternoon. I'm out on the river. This guy's ruining it, man. Trying to relax and
Bojack
chill.
Bojack Sax.
Yeah, they got Bojack Horseman up there playing a saxophone, almost dying on me, right? Like, nobody brings that up, but it's the truth. This is peaceful, dude.
Right.
But don't I look peaceful?
You should have thrown him back in the water.
I should, right? Oh, right, nobody even
you
likes
what?
Yeah, you can't. You suck at it, dude.
Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Day one of the men's room now live for your viewing pleasure. Check us out on YouTube at KISW ROCK. We are live now. A lot of comments coming in. Thank you for already checking out. People are either shocked by the way we look or the way we used to look, or I don't know what they're thinking.
A lot of different weird comments still coming in there. Yeah,
trying the best we can here.
Other people, a lot of older videos that we've done in the past have been airing during the commercial breaks during the show.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of them because I go smoke. But a few of them were like, hey, man, I was in the background of that last video that you guys just showed.
That's crazy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool.
I saw a woman not too long ago in the doctor's office.
All right.
And she comes up to me. She's like, I don't know if you remember me, but you guys did the sexiest bartender in the Seattle area competition.
All right.
This was very much in the infancy of the show, being on KISW.
Do you remember that at all?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes, I do.
I do not.
And when she said, yeah, I won, I said, yes, you did. And you still look great. Good for you. Yeah, we're running a lot of cool stuff from back in the day. But yeah, check us out on YouTube at KISW Rock. All right, we're talking about water today, and you guys were saying that sometimes jumping off a cliff can be dangerous.
Yeah.
You go to a water park, you figure they got this stuff kind of figured out.
You would hope so.
However, we did talk to Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction at one point in time. He was describing going down a water slide in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
This is one where you don't get an inner tube. You just kind of shoot down.
Slide down,
He basically said that this somewhere in that slide, there was a seam between the plastic that basically just scalped his ass and took half the skin and the hair off.
It just shaved his ass as he went down.
He said it was the worst experience ever. This person, a little bit more on the bad side. Florida man is suing Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, alleging he sustained permanent catastrophic injuries after riding a water park slide in Walt Disney World. Eugene Strickland, he's seeking $50,000 in damages. Catastrophic doesn't sound like $50,000 to me. Catastrophic sounds like millions.
Millions.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's Disney. I can't even believe this is news. I feel like Disney would be like, yep, here's the check.
He was riding the downhill double dipper, or the triple D, at Disney's Blizzard Beach. You ever been to Blizzard Beach?
I've never been to Blizzard Beach.
Well, it's dangerous there, Ted.
Our client was severely injured on a ride at Disney's Blizzard Beach. According to John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. They're representing Strickland. Final lawsuit alleging it was the defendant's lack of safety measures and oversight that contributed to those injuries. Now, Strickland weighs 334 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
34 pounds above the available limit, according to the guidelines established for the ride.
I assume that is posted.
Look, man, it says 300 pounds is the limit.
And you know you weigh over that. Don't
get on the ride.
Right. It's like any ride. You know, my kid, he's finally tall enough now. But like anything, when he was younger, just going to Monroe State Fair, mm-hmm. It's like, dude, you got to be this tall. And as all the ride operators would say, your hair doesn't count, which really did him dirty.
Yeah.
But like, they will not let you on. It is that simple. There's a reason for that.
And as somebody who used to weigh over 300, like, you know you weigh over 300.
You know.
You check those signs.
Mm-hmm.
Which ride was he on?
Also, they have a scale.
The triple D.
The downhill double dipper.
All right.
Now, you are on an inner tube on this ride, and it does say it offers exhilarating speeds. Disappear into a black hole and plummet 50 feet downhill at exhilarating speeds, a description of the water ride on the park website reads. A hurtle through darkness, then emerge just in time for the big old splashdown.
But after becoming separated from his inner tube, Strickland landed forcefully on the slide's plastic surface, causing him to sustain serious bodily injury, such as disability, scarring, disfigurement, mental anguish, and loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life. He claims the theme park is at fault for his injuries, stating in his lawsuit that they had a duty to warn him of the dangerous conditions.
The sign!
At the DDD high-speed water slide premise.
That's the point of the sign, man. If I blow through an intersection with a stop sign, I'm not going to sue the city. It's like, well, I posted the sign, but I ignored it.
As soon as I know that I am not able to, if it says, like, look, if I'm epileptic, and this ride says, can and does and will cause seizures, which I've seen before. You have a heart problem. You might have a heart attack.
Don't do it.
I'm not getting on the ride. If I have any of the conditions, I'm not going to be like, you know what? I'm not going to get a seizure. And the next thing you know, like you're drooling in your...
How many do you see for yourself? Roller coasters? Like, look, if you have a heart condition, and ladies, if you're pregnant, do not get on this ride.
Yeah. My daughter...
Disney for a while, I want to say at the Magic Kingdom in Tomorrowland, they had a thing called Alien Experience or Alien something. It was absolutely terrifying.
Okay.
But when you walked in, they were very strict and said, hey, if you get scared, do not come in here. Right? It's same with kids. Like, it's one of the few places in Disney I ever saw, like, if you were like, if there was a 10-year-old kid that said, I don't know if I want to do it, they would be like, take him out.
Don't do it.
But people refused to listen. The ride, again, it's one of the scarier things I've ever done. And there's just kids screaming, and they're like, I got to take them out. It's like, well, you can't now.
Right. You're in it, man.
Yeah. You're in it to win it.
The reason I didn't sit down and watch The Exorcist with my children when they were young.
Yeah, but my parents let me watch it.
I think
they're trying to scare the living hell out of you.
But that's the thing I learned from that. My parents took me to see Alien when I was 10 years old. No, look, to this day, I love the movie. I'm watching a TV show. But at 10, and the whole thing with them was, it's rated R, but they went to see it first to make sure there's no TNA. That I might see boobs and butts. Instead, saw an alien massacre six people in just horrendous ways that my mind was not prepared for yet, man. And after that, like, that's so well ingrained to me that even when the kids were younger, it's like, dude, I know you want to see this movie, all right? But no. They're like, well, is it scary? I'm like, it's not so much about scaring you. You know, like, you can watch Amityville Horror because you have a concept of what ghosts are. Might freak you out, but, like, I have seen this movie. Just there's some visuals that you like, well, Evil Dead 2. Yeah. You can't wrap your head around what you're going to see. You're just not old enough.
Dude, this ride I'm talking about was only open from 95 to 2003.
Because it was that scary?
Due to its intense and scary nature, it was too frightening for family audiences and received numerous complaints leading to its closure.
Ted, you know, like, my
basically,
daughter.
You're in a room and there's lights and everything.
All right.
And there's an alien that shows up and then it escapes. And with special effects, it feels like you think it's behind you and touching you.
Oh.
You can hear it in my voice.
It's terrifying. Terrifying. My daughter liked to run with her friends. They go to clubs.
Yeah.
A lot of techno parties on the beach when she was down in California.
Oh, yeah.
Raves, all that stuff.
Tech's up.
And she, you know, she would tell them, like, look, man, I either need to turn around or we need to leave. Party pooper, because she's epileptic.
Sure.
So she can't be in that blinking light environment.
Oh, that sucks.
Correct. And all her friends
if you want to go to
you
clubs.
Suck, too. Yeah. Because, like, we all want to be here. Now my daughter's, like, cowering in the corner, closing her eyes like this, because she doesn't want to go into it.
But how many different movies can she not see? Because the problem with some of those movies, they tell you when the movies begin. You know, I'll sit through all 30 minutes of all the previews, and then as the movie's starting and the lights dim, they're like, oh, hey, by the way, man, if you are prone to epileptic seizures.
Right before it starts.
And I'm like, they've already spent their money. Yeah,
thank you.
They're already here. They're eating their
I'm assuming there's a website for that.
Maybe.
Like, you know.
I've seen
epileptic
it on a few,
info or something. I don't know.
I've seen it on a few TV commercials where they will say, like, hey, man, this, if you're going to go see it, but.
About to say, it might be like just before they show the preview or after they show the preview, like, hey, this is going to cause
seizures. Some of the late night stuff on Comedy Central has that.
Oh, really?
Before a couple of individual. I don't know the shows, but I have seen it when they put up.
It's just a little warning.
Like, I think maybe Robot Chicken does.
Yeah, there's a few.
Because some of the
spiraling things, like.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. Just, hey, whatever. You can't watch Robot Chicken, bro.
No Robot Chicken for you.
That's right.
Well, I'm just thinking about, like if I knew somebody like Miles' daughter, I wouldn't give it two thoughts. Be like if she was my age, it was some girl, and it's like, yeah, we're going to this show. And then, like, I wouldn't think to be like, are you epileptic?
Jesus, name epileptic. How many concerts can she know? My wife took my daughter to see Lady Gaga. And she said, it was this great show, blah, blah, blah. But the way she explained it.
There was a lot of visuals in that one.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars, not so much. I'm trying to think of the concerts we've been to. So we've seen Bruno Mars a couple of times. He doesn't really do that. He's more about the music.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga, amazing on stage, but she does do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
As far as the visuals.
Oh, I watched her at Coachella this year, and I was like, that would be epileptic for sure.
Really?
Oh, damn. The Lady Gaga show?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of flashing lights mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
It's just so weird. A
lot of costume changes, too. Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Cole. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hey, I called in because I'm working on the offshore rig and in Antarctica, but I also have a water story if you're interested in
Wait. You worked on an oil rig and you worked in Antarctica.
Correct.
Which one was the worst experience?
The oil rig, by far.
All right, that's what I thought.
Is that based on the weather or what? Just the isolation? I mean, Antarctica...
Antarctica was all right. It was pretty fun. About 5 months, and it was during their summer. So it wasn't, it was below zero, but it wasn't, so cold you couldn't go outside.
Are there any animals there at all?
Penguins?
Yeah, is there anything that you can see?
Yeah, penguins and leopard seals, and when the icebreaker came in, there were some orcas that followed it in.
Okay.
That's about it. Everything's black and white. There's no other colors down there.
Were you at an American station or were you at an international station?
I was at McMurdo. Yeah, the biggest American station.
Did you guys ever have movie night and watch The Thing?
Yeah, actually we did.
I can believe that.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
How's Antarctica food?
No, I was a cook there, so I'd have to say it was pretty darn good.
Okay.
All right.
That's good. That's good to know.
And how long, when you're on an oil rig, how long is your contract to be stuck on there for any one time?
It's usually 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
All right. It's not so bad.
How many sharks can you see swimming under that thing when you have the lights on at night?
I didn't see any sharks. It was up in Alaska.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you just go to cold places? Is that your day? Like, hey, I'll do this, but it has to be freezing cold.
Is it frigid?
Is it inhumane?
That's why I love Washington so much. I can handle this.
I bet you can.
I bet you can, yeah.
So what's your water story, man?
Well, about 2001, I was down in New Zealand with a good friend of mine, Luke. And we were just kind of backpacking around, and we ended up at the northernmost point of the North Island called Cape Reinga. And there's a big sign there that says, no food or drink beyond this point. It's a religious spot for the Maoris down there.
All right.
And we walked right past that sign. We didn't see it. We walked down there and we jumped in the water and we went swimming, which we're not supposed to do. And we camped out, which we're not supposed to do. But we ran out of water. And we didn't have any water with us for the whole night and into the next day. And it was hot and sandy and brutal. The hiking out of there with no water was awful. And we got back, we had to wait because we were hitchhiking. We had to wait for people to show up and take their pictures and then take us out of there. But when we got back to the first town, the first ride we got was a Maori guy who took us to the Maori school there and fed us and gave us water. And every ride we got for the rest of the next 3 days were all Maoris, and they all went way out of their way to help us. And I don't know, I can't explain it. It was chilling just how we inadvertently were respectful of their religious area, and they seemed like their people just knew it and just took good care of us. It was pretty cool.
Did you admit to going down there? Did you tell them you didn't see the sign, or did you just keep your mouth shut?
I didn't tell them a damn thing.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, sorry.
That's why they were being respectful.
But could you see the sign when you were walking back?
Yeah. We had plenty of time to hang out there and wait. And,
okay.
We ran everything.
Yep,
saw that.
I'm
like, whoops.
Okay.
So based on your experiences between Alaska, Antarctica, Maori mountains and all that, what's the coolest place you've been? Or what's a place you'd like to go back to?
Oh, man. I don't know. New Zealand was amazing. I recommend that to anybody. The people are amazing. The country is beautiful. I don't know. I've been a lot of places, but
see,
I'm in Washington now, so I guess this is it.
I would feel like I accidentally put a curse on myself. Or something.
What are you talking about?
You know what I mean? If I went into a native land and did all the things I wasn't supposed to
you
do.
You accidentally put a curse on yourself.
Yeah, because I did not follow the rules.
Disrespected it.
Well, you're not putting it on you. They are. So just rest
assured. I understand that, but because of my stupidity.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I put myself in a situation where now bad things could possibly happen to me. Then, like a bottle of water would fall from the sky and knock
and
me
hit you in the head.
Or
yeah.
Something like that.
There is your water.
Right, you're not wrong.
I drowned at dinner drinking, you know, table water. Somehow water's going to come back to haunt me.
That thing, I will
just
say,
saying.
As far as that kind of thing goes, you know, you try to be respectful. There's no doubt about that. That's just, well, a matter of being respectful. But, man, when I was in New Orleans, like, some of the voodoo folks down there.
That's what I'm saying. Same level like, of oh no.
They bugged me, man. Like, you know, anyone else are like, look, there's some just general rules that you follow and everything's good. No problem, right? You go to Hawaii, they're like, look, if you're going to go to this place, you know, be respectful of blank. Not a problem. New Orleans, there's this one little shop, and it looked like, you know, just some silly curiosity shop, like more souvenirs and crap. And when I walk in, I realize, okay, like people that are into voodoo, like this is where they go to buy whatever it is you buy when you do voodoo. But even like the woman behind the counter just looking at me freaked me out. And they do a terrible sales pitch of everything because they make everything sound bad. Like literally you walk in, is there something I can help you with? Like... Dude, hey, man, I'm just looking around. Like, I don't know if you'd be interested in that. I'm like, well, I'm not. It's just that I'm trying to be decent, basically, because I walked into your shop, and I don't want to just walk in and walk out, right? So you're trying to act like you're interested. I don't know. It was just, it is creepy, man. And somehow, in spite of the fact that it is like high noon, it is bright as F outside, when you walk in there, it's like a movie theater when the movie's playing. It is dark. Don't touch anything. And on everything you
but
look
at. But it's for sale. You do not touch
it. It's for sale, and they swear it's, like, authentic. And it was like a shrunken chicken. You're like, oh, man, that's kind of like, it's just real.
It's
like,
a Cornish hen.
Yeah, like, I need to get out of here.
I just pictured walking in and be like, white boy, out.
Like, what? That's not a shrunken chicken. It's a Cornish hen. Don't try to pass that off.
Either that or, like, I walk in.
It's a squab.
And there's a voodoo doll. She's like, been waiting for you.
It looks like, just like it, doesn't it?
Like, how did you know?
It's the same clothes are on.
I just bought this shirt.
Why was water an important part of the story? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm telling you, it was...
That's what I'm saying.
Terrifying.
I would feel like I'd be cursed for two or three days.
See this doll? You're stuck in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, oh, damn it. I should have never come down here.
I would say sleep with one eye open, but you don't need to.
You don't need any more beignets. Right, now that's just mean.
Right. Now I'm just being cruel.
Right.
Hello, Keith. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, amigos.
Hola.
So what? The question was when water failed me, right? And well, we spoke before. I don't know. Obviously, you speak to a million people a day, and I get it. But I was talking about my crazy girlfriend, Debbie, how she burnt my work truck down. And I don't know if I had mentioned this at the time, that she was when I was on deployment and I came back home, she was kicked out of the property, out of the home. But the landlord left the place open for me because I kept sending money back to the state. And so one night at 0:30, I heard there's a beating on my window. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, so I opened the blinds and I could see there was a storage shed there, but suddenly it's orange and it's normally white. So I don't know what's going on here. And I could hear, there's a fire, there's a fire. So I run to the front door, and yeah, there's a fire. This woman was stealing gas out of my railroad pickup truck and using a lighter to check the height of the fuel in her plastic jerry can. And, well, it caught on fire and started my work truck on fire. Then the jerry can started melting, and the fuel leaked over to my four-door Jeep wagon, and it caught it on fire. So now the flames are 20, 30, 40 feet in the air, and we're surrounded by pine trees because it's the Pacific Northwest. And she's running back and forth like a chicken with her head cut off. Like, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. I'm like, dial 911. So I run through the driver or passenger side of my railroad truck, and of course, the fire extinguisher is on the driver's side. And I pop the door, and the flames are coming through. and I grab the fire extinguisher, close the door, come out, and it just goes. So I grab the garden hose and I run it over there, and we're on a well because we're out on 40 acres in Oregon. Well, yeah, Oregon. Anyways, turn the water on, and it failed me. The well was dry or down low or whatever. So I got to sit there and watch my career go down the toilet. And
well, it couldn't go down the toilet because the toilet was dry.
Yeah.
You had no water.
Was your career in the shed?
No. The shed told me that there was a fire when the knucklehead was telling me there was a fire. But we were on a well, and the garden hose is from the hose.
Well, you said you watched your career go up in flames. I don't understand the shed and the truck, but it's not like you're going to lose your job.
It's a railroad truck, and she just burned it to the ground.
Okay, so it wasn't your truck.
No, but it was my Jeep, and it also burnt down.
Okay.
There was no tires. The whole body was completely rusted. You could see the springs where there used to be seats. Yeah. It was just...
Was that your ex-girlfriend again showing up?
Yeah. Remember, we spoke about her.
Like you said at the beginning of it, we get a million phone calls. It's kind of hard to remember all the stories individually.
But she's the one that burned his career to the ground.
I see.
So what do you do if you're the fire department and someone's on a well and their well is reasonably dry?
You watch everything go up in
flames. I mean, do they have a backup water system or do they just have to watch the crap burn?
The truck might have some. They might have some other stuff that's not water based. But honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah,
it could just be.
Because I'm just listening to it. Like, even if you call the fire department, what could they do if you don't have a water hookup for them? What, keep blowing out it like birthday candles?
Good news, people are actually watching us on YouTube.
I know
at KISW Rock, we're getting some views on that, and thank you for your comments as well. As we now are live streaming for your viewing pleasure on YouTube at KISW Rock.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.